don't need no education.
Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. School is now in session.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us here at Education Nation. I'm your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's been so much fun to join you on Saturday mornings. And I have my co-host, Pete Hegseth, here with me again today, and we are going to take on an issue I'm very passionate about, Common Core.
Yes, you're not just passionate about it, you're extremely knowledgeable about it as well. First, I want to say, can you believe it's our seventh episode?
I can't believe it. It's actually going so quickly we already have seven shows.
It's a lot of fun, and I think we've covered a lot of ground already. And when you think about what we've talked about, and even now we're only now just getting to Common Core,
right,
which is such a big subject.
Right.
And no one, like you said, you're passionate and so smart on. I think a lot of these standards are also things that have come to bear that you saw coming almost a decade ago or long before that when you were a parent that started a school, Liberty Classical Academy, that we're so proud of. I mean, this is the manifestation of developments that have been occurring for a long time.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's
sort
true.
Sort of building on the horizon. And now Common Core is here. It's been in Minnesota. We're going to talk to an expert from Minnesota in our last segment, Dr. Latier, who's really knows about Common Core in Minnesota.
Right.
But before we get to how it's impacting us in Minnesota, there's a lot of misunderstanding about Common Core. Is it testing? Is it curriculum? Is it mandated? Is it federal? Is it state?
Right.
What is it? So let's break it down first before we get into, is it good? Is it bad? Is it not?
Yes, good idea.
What is Common Core? What's the history of it? What's Common Core?
Yeah. Well, the Common Core State Standards, as it's officially entitled, were developed by a very small group of individuals, not by the federal government, but funded through the federal government. So here in America, we have this idea of local control. So they sort of skirted around that by saying, well, the federal government didn't establish these standards. They were established by the states, but they really weren't established by the states. They were adopted by the states.
Okay.
So this is a set of standards in English language arts, as well as math, that were written to be a single set across the entire nation. The hope by these authors was that all of the states would adopt these standards and that it would improve then the quality of education across the entire country by the fact that they would have these standards.
Okay, sure. So, I mean, there's an old adage that says, he who takes the king's money does the king's bidding.
Right.
So even from the beginning, it wasn't a federally funded or federally mandated program per se, but they already knew that people were going to have issue with federally directed curriculum, so they skirted around it by saying, okay, it's here on the outside, we're just funding it.
Right, and actually the government was pretty direct in when they offered the Race to the Top grants. I think we talked about this a couple shows ago, that originally we had No Child Left Behind, which was during President Bush's era, and a lot of the schools were kind of crumbling under this. The districts were not doing well because some of the districts weren't doing well across the country because their students weren't performing well on those No Child Left Behind tests. So what the federal government did is they offered exceptions to the No Child Left Behind requirements, and you could adopt then the Common Core State Standards. And I read that entire legislation actually back a few years ago. And they specifically said special consideration will be given to states who adopt the Common Core State Standards. Special consideration will be given to those who tie teacher evaluations and even principal evaluations to the testing. So while they didn't require it, they all but required it because they said special consideration will be given, and then that's how they got their money.
Interesting.
Yes.
You and seven other people read that entire thing.
Probably.
However, that's why we love you. No, you got to have watchdogs
yes.
that dive into the details yes. because the devil is in the details.
Yes, it is.
With
it
this,
is.
Especially with something like Common Core, which sounds so great. One size fits all standards. We talked about standards last mm-hmm. week. You
right.
broke that down for us.
Right.
But it's a lot more than that.
Right. And the problem with standards, as I have mentioned in the past, is that there's not a single set of standards that works well for the entire nation. We have to think about our children and how individual they are. Think about different states. What's important to each state? What topics are important to each city or each school even? And so we need to be able to rely on our teachers and our local officials, local education leaders, to make really excellent decisions about education. And what this does is this completely turns that upside down. And so now the school boards become nothing but a rubber stamp. And we know that this organization that wrote the standards, this group of individuals, is a private group. It's not even a government-funded group mm-hmm. or a government group. So you can't really look at their process at all. It's completely hidden. And in fact, the Common Core State Standards are even copyrighted. They cannot be changed one iota. So local parent, you don't like something being taught in your child's school, that's where are you going to go? You
yeah.
can't go to your school board anymore. You're certainly not going to get any attention from the the federal level. So how do parents voice their concerns when there is a single set
it's
of standards?
Such a good point. You used to, through the PTA or through your school board or even through your state legislature
right.
would have the, and we're going to ask Dr. Lettier about what can be done, what is being done
yes.
in the state legislature. I'm
yes.
a little worried not a whole lot is being done
right.
because it's such a federally mandated
right,
program.
Right.
But you brought with you today an audio clip because you're the one who, by the way, if anybody thinks I know anything about education, no. It's Rebecca that knows education. I'm here to ask some questions and tease it out. But she brought a great clip today mm-hmm. by Bill Gates,
yes.
who funded a lot of this.
Right. Bill Gates is the major funder of all of the work with respect to Common Core.
Okay.
Yes.
And she says it's very revealing. So we're going to play the clip and then I'll have you react to it, Rebecca.
Okay. Sounds good.
We'll only know if this effort has succeeded when the curriculum and tests are aligned to these standards. Tests are aligned to the common standards. The curriculum will line up as well. And it will unleash a powerful market of people providing services for better teaching. For the first time, there'll be a large uniform base of customers looking at using products that can help every kid learn and every teacher get better.
Wow, there's so much to unpack there.
Yes,
where to start?
And read between the lines a little bit with some of that. One of the things that I said I see as a problem with this is that basically what we're developing through this common set of standards is a national curriculum. And if you say that, they'll say, oh, no. This isn't curriculum. In fact, the other thing I read the entire thing of is the standards committees, basically their arguments for why they did the standards and mm-hmm. what's so unique about them. And they will say, well, this isn't curriculum. We're leaving curriculum to the local control. But you just heard Bill Gates say, we are going to align the tests with the standards, and then the curriculum
will follow
with the tests. Exactly.
Because then it will inevitably follow
that we then basically have a national curriculum. And there's another gentleman who I was listening to named David Foster, who helped develop the two tests that we're going to test the national standards, and that is PARC and Smarter Balance. So his name is David Foster, and he too. He's speaking to a group of superintendents in California, talking about how the tests are really not quite ready, and yet mm-hmm. they got rolled out. We talked about that last week.
Yep.
But the reality that he said is that we're basically developing a national curriculum by default because the curriculum will line up with the tests, and the tests will line up with the standards.
And as we're going to... And I would imagine, curriculum, textbooks, technology, like you talked
right.
about last week, that all cascades and then it gets difficult to change.
And did you notice that one of the things that Bill Gates talks about is all of the products and services it will unleash? Did he say something about it will unleash
a market
a
for
whole
teaching? He said, which is one word that sounded good,
uh-huh.
market, but it doesn't sound like a kind of market I'm going to like.
Right, Right, right. And that is exactly what's happened. My email box, once Common Core took off across the country, and I guess I don't know that I remembered to mention that people were offered the carrot of money. Mm-hmm. The states were offered the carrot of money to mm-hmm. adopt the standards. And by the way, they had to adopt the standards before they even were written. So the states took the money just to get out of the No Child Left Behind requirements, thinking, well, hopefully these standards will be better and easier. Yeah, it can't be worse. And so anyway, all, as you can tell, really leads into a national curriculum. And that is not what is good for this country.
No, it's certainly not what was intended. It's not what we wanted, what education system was founded on. And if that's all the incentives and where all the money is going,
right.
And then I got to feel like Bill Gates, he might have made a heck of a nice PC at one point,
well,
but what's his background to be the guy who decides what my kids get educated on?
Precisely. That's what we're seeing. And even if you look at the people that were part of creating those Common Core standards, there's a person from Intel Corporation there. I mean, I think what we see, and this organization Achieve, by the way, mm-hmm. Was also involved in the writing of the standards, and that is a group of business leaders and governors who want to improve quote-unquote education. So we have a bunch of people who don't know anything about education.
Yeah, business leaders,
politicians, what works.
And technology companies.
Exactly. And that's what I was thinking I was going to talk about earlier, is that we, since this Common Core State Standards were adopted, my email box was completely inundated with new curriculum, new preparation for tests. It was overwhelmed. And that is all brand new things that are being into the market for purchase. And of course, this is all at the tax dollars, or
that's
all
right.
at the taxpayers.
And Bill Gates calls it a market. I call it a cottage industry built around government largesse and government mandates, which
right.
is not a real market. A real
right.
market is when school districts and others get to decide what they want to teach, and
right.
the best curriculum rises to the top, and you get these decisions. That's a market.
Exactly.
This is a crony market
right.
where people
it
are
is.
Deciding what the standards are, and then there's cottage
yep.
industries built up around it
yes.
that also end up resisting change, helping
yes.
being a part of the lobbies that resist change.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
This looks like so many other
absolutely.
Things that emanate out of Washington. Rebecca, this is fascinating stuff. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and dive a little bit more into what these standards really mean.
Yes.
What do they really look like
mm-hmm.
in practice? Stick around.
Thank you.
We don't need no education. We don't need no control.
We are back. My name is Pete Hegseth. I'm here with Rebecca Hagstrom, our host of Education Nation. And today we are talking Common Core. It's a hot button issue, one you've probably heard a lot about. Our presidential candidates are talking about it mm-hmm. nationally and even locally. We're trying to break down what it means. We're going to have a great guest in the next segment to talk about what it means in Minnesota. But we talked generally about Common Core. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned there's an English standard and a math standard. Rebecca,
mm-hmm.
let's go to the English standard first. What does it mean?
Right, right. So state of Minnesota did adopt the English language standards. And while they didn't officially adopt the math standards, they basically have by default in many places. But the English standards, basically the idea is, okay, again, we want to have this single set of standards across the entire nation for
yep.
English language arts, right? We want to make sure that the kids know how to read and write. This all makes sense. But the way they go about it doesn't make sense. Mm. And we talked a lot about this during the standardized testing segment, that so much of this is done on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
It is not child friendly. It's not consistent with the way a child naturally learns. But one of the most profound mistakes that the Common Core State Standards make for the English language is that they require that at least 50% of the text that students read, starting as young as kindergarten, are informational only. So
okay.
how in the world does a little kindergartner, first or second grader, learn to love reading if all they are reading 50% of the time is informational text?
Yeah.
You know, we know that kids love good stories.
They
that's
love
why
Pete
we
the cat,
use
you know?
That's why we
they
use true
Dr. Seuss.
Great content at Liberty,
that's
you know,
right.
even at the youngest of ages, because we want to make sure that the kids learn to enjoy reading. And interestingly, so often, and we're gonna demonstrate some of this in our next show, Pete. But so often the content is very politically correct driven. So the content might be on global global warming, or the content might be on, you know, socialism or
social
activism.
Justice. Sure.
Yes. For young kids.
Yeah.
And yet the whole idea at this age is for them to be learning to love reading, love writing, learn how to write sentences and punctuation and all of the basic core things that are
that employers look for that are great things
that are
have.
Best taught, by the way. And we have Sandra Stotsky, who is an English professor who did not approve the standards. She was on the validation committee, and
so she was on the Common Core committee and said, "I'm not signing this."
She wasn't on the Common Core committee. She was on a validation committee, weren't even going to have outside people, and then they finally brought some outside people in to look at the standards. And she actually says, if you read an article, she actually talks about the fact that it was very apparent to them as people on the validation committee that the idea is that they were supposed to be rubber stamps. Mm. Well, she would have none of it. And one of the things she points out is that these kids, the best way for them to learn how to be excellent writers and critical thinkers is to read excellent content.
Well, that's right. You've gave me the quote right here. One was about being rubber stamps.
Yeah.
But she went on to say they stress writing more than reading. And anyone who's ever taught K through 12 knows that good writing comes from good reading. All good writers have been good readers. You cannot become a good writer without having been a good reader. Common Core got it backwards.
Yes. Can you believe that?
That's powerful.
That's a very powerful statement. And this woman is, I tell you, she is very qualified to be making that statement. And she was responsible for a lot of the standards in the state of Massachusetts. And they are considered to be one of the top states in the nation as far as their education is concerned.
Boy, you talk, that's, people are going to want to stick around for next week. So I'm going to make a shameless plug for next Saturday
yes.
morning, because I've got some of the examples in front of me. We just don't have time for it.
Right. So
how these ridiculous standards or backward standards come to bear on what students
yes.
are actually engaging.
It's very sad.
It's funny, but it's sad, and then it's funny and sad because it's so ridiculous
right.
in what it looks like sometimes,
right.
especially on the math standards
right.
as well.
Right.
But it's affecting kids.
Yes.
I laugh because I'm looking at it, but it's not funny.
No.
That's why I send my kids to Liberty Classical Academy
yeah.
because I know they're going to be taught how to read and write and follow the steps of actually engaging with learning, which
exactly.
we're taking away from kids right now.
We're genuinely teaching
we
kids how to think.
We are. Okay, we're going to jump to math real quick. Mm-hmm. I will say this, though, because we want to get time for our interview at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about math and how they're doing that.
Mm-hmm. So the math standards, as I said, weren't officially adopted, but
in Minnesota,
but in many school districts, the math is happening anyway. And part of that is because that's what all the new curriculums are doing. They're aligning themselves with the standards.
Yeah.
So the idea is that they want to teach kids sort of the why behind the math. Well, that all sounds well and good, but when the kids are in lower school, they just need to learn how to do the computations because from a cognitive standpoint, they are very concrete thinkers. They need hands-on
yeah.
math. So to explain all the whys and all of this of math when they're that age is really quite ridiculous, and it wastes time.
I'm sorry to laugh, but what is the why of 2 plus 2? There is
right.
no why of 2
right.
plus 2.
Exactly.
I had two things. I got two more things. Now I have
four
things. I don't...
Right. But here's the thing. They want to show that there are lots of different answers to a particular problem, and they're trying to use math as a way to demonstrate that.
Isn't math the one place where you would not find different answers
yes,
to a problem?
Right, right.
Isn't that philosophy and politics?
But common sense is out the window.
All right.
It is out the
we
window.
We can have fun with this all day. What I'm
yes.
going to do, because we got to trim some time, because we're going to get to our guest, Dr. Letier, here and ask him about Minnesota. Folks need to stick around next Saturday at 10:30 a.m.
Yes.
Because what you're going to come armed with, we already have some here, we're going to have even more, are mm-hmm. the ridiculous examples
right.
of the lack of common sense
yes.
on math and English and reading and everything else. I mean, it's
precisely.
Incredible.
Precisely.
And we're going to lay them out, some of these,
yes.
how 2 plus 2 actually equals 5 in some of these problems.
In some places.
Right.
Hard to imagine.
The world is truly upside down. So much to track here. We're going to hit up more next week. But first, stick around. We're coming back to hear from Dr. Daniel Letier on the other side. So we are honored to be joined by Dr. Daniel Letier, the Vice President of Better Ed, as well as Vice President of Intellectual Takeout. Daniel, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Pete.
Absolutely. Well, we want to get a sense of how this is. Is there anything in particular specific about how Common Core or different about how Common Core is being applied in Minnesota, more or less than other states, pretty standard? What are we looking at as far as Common Core in Minnesota?
Sure. Well, Minnesota is unique among the states in that it only adopted one set of the standards, namely the English language standards. Mm-hmm. I believe it was in 2011 that Minnesota had revamped their math curriculum mm-hmm. and felt that they had made it significantly rigorous enough. Mm-hmm. And so they elected not to adopt the Common Core math standards, but mm-hmm. they did adopt the English language standards. And those started being tested on in the state in 2013. And what you saw were standardized test scores dropped. Mm-hmm. I think currently they went from 75% proficiency in reading and math across the state to 60%. Mm-hmm. And it has stayed there for the past 3 years now. Scores have flatlined. What we don't really know is whether it's because the standards are more rigorous in the Common Core or whether it's just that schools have not had sufficient enough time to teach to the test.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, we just talked about that. You missed our show probably last week, Dan, where we were talking about standardized testing and how school districts really are really forced in a way to teach to the test because the test score has become so important at so many different levels across the school district. And we actually had a parent on last week or last week who discussed the experience that she had in her own child's school district on that issue. So teaching to the test is a real issue. And with the new standards, it might take them a little bit longer to do that as well.
Yes, that's very true. It's a natural human response. If you're a teacher in a classroom, you know this well, Rebecca, that students will constantly ask you, is this going to be on the test? Is this going to be on the test?
Right.
Essentially, you know, the school districts are in that role of the student now because mm-hmm. so much depends upon these test scores.
Right, right.
That they're just trying to hone the craft of teaching students what they absolutely need to know mm-hmm. to get good scores on these tests.
Right, right. Which is not truly learning.
That's right. Well, and I made an entire academic career on trying to glean out of the teacher what's on
right,
the test.
Right, right.
So I could see that happening time and time again, no doubt.
Yes, yes.
What are you hearing from teachers? You're as in touch with folks in the classroom as anybody in the state of Minnesota. Are they hopeful that Common Core will eventually return, that on the English side of the house, these scores are eventually going to rebound? Do they wish they'd have rejected it altogether and had maintained their own standards like they did with math? What's the pulse of the teachers on this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the teachers and closely related the teachers' unions are not big fans of the Common Core. I think their position, and I sympathize with this, is that they're just constantly subjected to different changes at the legislative level, the federal level with education, and they've really lost local autonomy of schools, autonomy that private schools have and in some ways charter schools have. So mm-hmm. I think the teachers feel that this was implemented very quickly, pushed through very mm-hmm. quickly.
And it was.
Mm-hmm. Correct, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, the Gates Foundation threw a lot of money behind mm-hmm, it to mm-hmm. push
it through
very quickly.
We talked about that a little
quickly.
Earlier in the show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they're just tired of being handed orders from on high and want a little more autonomy in the classrooms than they've had up till now.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things you mentioned earlier that Minnesota did not adopt the math standards, one of the things that we also mentioned earlier is that the math standards, though we didn't adopt them officially as a state, the report I'm getting from some of my sources is that it's being implemented anyway, the math standards, at a practical level. Have you heard much about that yourself?
I have not. What have you heard in terms of it being implemented at a practical level?
Well, I'm hearing it from public school teachers in one particular district that have said that basically they might as well have adopted the standards because they're moving to curriculum that embraces the Common Core math standards. And
okay.
I'm wondering if it's because of the testing, if they're planning, because they need to test, you know, there's the two different tests, the PARC and the Smarter Balance tests, if they're planning to use those, if they feel that they have to cover both because that's all going to be in the same test.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, at the state level, I feel like here they've been doing their best to drop some of the standardized test requirements that have been added over the years, and that'll be another push, especially on the Democrat side and the teachers union side this year in the legislature. So I'm not sure about that. I'm guessing that conceptually some of the stuff that's in the Common Core standards is also in the Minnesota standards. You know, infamously, you've been seeing these examples of worksheets that students bring home that are really trying to force at an early age this conceptual understanding of math.
Yes.
Except it's done in a kookier way than you would have in like the Singapore math that have become popular among some schools and homeschoolers now. And in addition, the federal government just passed legislation that really removes the funding carrot that was held in front of states in terms of adopting the standards and having their standardized tests aligned with them.
Dr. Lautier, we've only got about another minute and a half here. You mentioned the legislature. Are there reforms on the horizon that could emanate from the state level that you feel like would be useful on education, specifically on Common Core or in this upcoming session?
I don't know that too many grand plans will be pushed through this year. Governor Dayton wants to try for universal preschool again as kind of a silver bullet to fix education. The only thing I've heard from the Senate Republicans is that they want to use standardized test scores to help maybe curb the social promotion that's happening now and, you know, tie some of the requirements of students being able to move on to the next grade to their performance on standardized tests. And there's just a little talk about maybe a humble tax credit that will help some special needs students go to private schools. But really nothing I see major effort to move back from Common Core standards. You have to remember, I mean, the districts had to spend a bunch of money to implement
that's
the standards
right.
and
this
get textbooks aligned with them.
Yes.
And so
textbook
sure
and technology.
And
technology, yeah.
Right. So I don't think we'll see any dramatic reforms in this legislative session in Minnesota.
Right.
Well, Daniel, you've left me on a Debbie Downer there,
yeah.
I gotta say. However, I think there is hope on the horizon because shows like this, Education Nation, schools like Liberty that Rebecca leads, organizations like Better Ed that you are the vice president of, are finally shining light on this issue. People are waking up to the implications of Common Core and what our kids are being taught. Hopefully down the line, our lagging indicator politicians will catch up and do something about it. But Daniel, thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel.
No problem, Pete. Rebecca.
Well, it was great having Dan Lautier with us today, Pete, and it's been a great show, but we have so much more to talk about. So next week, we're going to delve in a little bit more into the actual curriculum that we are seeing with respect to the English language standards and the math standards as well.
Of Common Core. So more Common Core next week. And a shameless plug again, the reason I'm sitting in this seat with Rebecca Hagstrom, who's the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, is I send my two kids there, and I'm going to send my third when he's old enough. I know they will get a quality education based on how to learn, loving to learn, loving your country, loving your God, excellence in education, fantastic stuff. Go to libertyclassicalacademy.org to find out more.
Thank you.